Hello, and welcome to Divine Chaos, the podcast where we are learning to live awake. We're exploring psychological blocks that get in the way, and we're leaning into the divine chaos of this jacked up journey that is our life. I'm Janine Miller Delaney, and here is my co-host, colleague in psychotherapy, friend and spiritual sojourner, Ruth Friend.
We invite you into this moment in space where we can take some time to release, at least for a while, all of our judgments and expectations of ourselves. Come here into this holy instant with us and just breathe here, now, and remember you are exactly as love created you. There is nothing you need to do or fix. This is your time to just be and breathe here with us and with love itself.
Welcome back. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Janine.
Today, we're going to kind of continue a little bit from our previous discussion when Ruth was interviewing me about your indelible worth. That got me into thinking more about some of the religious messages that many people have been given through their whole perhaps childhood or upbringing, or even, you know, through their adult life. And so you got me kind of curious and looking into Jen Hatmaker's podcast, yes, for the love, in which she is specifically addressing some of that toxic messaging from religious teachings.
Her podcast is so much fun.
Yeah. From what I heard, she certainly sounds like she's got a lot of energy and lots of good topics too.
Yes.
In the podcast that I was listening to, she said, "Why aren't there more people out there helping us?" And I just thought, well, we're here to help. And so maybe today's topic would be about the messages that we told ourselves based on our experiences, or the messages that we were told. So maybe we could carry on and looking at that, looking at some of the religious messaging that became destructive or toxic to us.
Yes, I think in previous podcasts, I've used the example of being in kindergarten and being afraid that I would pick the toys up wrong. So I kind of went into freeze mode because I didn't know what to do. And I think the teacher perceived that I was just not wanting to cooperate, when internally I was thinking, what if I don't do it right? That core message of having to be perfect was already very much ingrained in me.
So for you, it felt like that came from some of the religious messaging of the church?
Yes, for sure. Almost that you can't be human. And that's something that I've struggled with, realizing that being perfect and being human are not synonymous. Like they can't
be both.
Right. And I think it was always kind of like, you know, you're taught that salvation is a free gift, but really the message underneath that is you've got to spend the whole rest of your life proving that you are worthy of it and deserve it.
So underneath that message is that you are innately bad. And you have to create yourself into somebody better than you are.
Right.
You're not enough as you are.
Right. You're born in sin. And so what are you going to do with that?
Well, and wow, what a double whammy if the message is you're born in sin. And then what if the way that you're born, like say that you are in the LGBTQI community, and so the religious messaging is not just that you're born in sin, but if you're different than what we say you should be, then all the more you're not enough. I think that comes to my mind because of so many people that I've worked with in that community who have just felt so horrible about themselves because that was the religious messaging they got also.
Yeah, so much rejection.
Yeah, and that who you are is not okay.
Right.
So I guess that's a variation of what you're thinking, what you were taught, you have to be perfect. And then something else that comes to my mind in my experience that I've heard many say is, you know, we have to be an example. Everybody's watching us.
Boy, did I ever get that. Talk about a double whammy, because I was a pastor's daughter and the oldest.
Oh, right.
You know, so that message was very strong as far as people are watching you.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. And if you're always feeling like you have to be perfect, then you're always going to fall short of the mark.
Always, always. I can remember, I think, I don't, I must have been in high school, and my sister and I finally talked our dad into letting us get our ears pierced. And so I can remember about 2 to 3 weeks after we did that, suddenly a ton of girls in the church had their ears pierced too. And it was just a stark reminder to me of how much everybody truly was watching, not just the people my age, but their parents too.
Right. All the more pressure. And then, and I feel like I've heard that message. So especially when you're the daughter of a preacher. But even going further from that, I've heard that message. Like, people are watching us. We need to, we're an example who, you know, what Christianity is. So we have to do it perfectly also.
Right, that you need to be living out the fruits of the Spirit continuously. You need to be a reflection of Christ. And really, it comes across as perfect.
Right. And what comes to my mind, you had said in one of the podcasts before, you know, there's all these shoulds then. It's always who I should be, which translates then into shame.
Yes, all the time.
Because I can't live up to these shoulds constantly.
No, and it plays out in so many different ways, like even the expression of feelings. It ends up coming across that feelings are bad. Like if you feel angry, that's bad.
Or if you were a true Christian, you would always be joyful and happy.
Yes, exactly.
And you
So
wouldn't have
there's,
these difficult feelings.
right. So there's very little room for sadness, grief, or anger. Even as a little child.
Right. So again, more stifling of who you are, of your light, because if we are not, we're not able to experience all of our emotions, then actually it stifles the joy anyway, just from feeling like we can be who we are.
Right. I just was listening to a podcast earlier this morning, and it was from a person that had come out of a similar upbringing as mine. And she said that it used to be quoted to her all the time, part of a speech that Martin Luther gave. And it was taken out of context, but basically saying that feelings come and feelings go. And so you're supposed to basically ignore them.
Oh, wow. You're just supposed to ignore your feelings.
And she could remember that being quoted to her from the time she was a little girl. And if she would show any kind of emotion, it would get quoted to her. And then she said, after a while, whenever she would have a strong emotion, she would begin quoting it to herself. Feelings come and feelings go, and
Oh,
you can't
right.
rely on them.
These messages that we just repeat over and over, so they become hardwired within our whole system. And that makes me think, did she say, you know, was that religious messaging?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I think she even quoted the verse. I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it or understand it? In other words, don't trust yourself.
So don't trust your heart. Yeah. It maybe it's even more prevalent in some of the toxic religious messaging. And yet we get these messages even outside of religious messages.
Oh, for sure.
How many people we work with have been taught, don't pay attention to your feelings, or you're weak, or you shouldn't, yeah, if you cry, you're weak or powerless.
Right. And it's these things that are taken out of context, because you know there's a little bit of truth to a lot of those messages, but it's when they're blown up and made to be the core belief or the core truth that then it gets so.
I still always remember one of the earlier years when I was going to a church service with my husband, and you know, all of the women in our family married guys that were raised in the Catholic Church. And I feel like, you know, there's so many positive things about the Catholic Church, you know, so much mysticism and so much, you know, depth to the relationship and the ritual. But the one message that I heard that just gets repeated over and over was that prayer, I am unworthy to receive thee, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And I was just thinking, wow, so to repeatedly at every service be saying, I am unworthy, I'm unworthy to receive thee. That to me just feels like such a powerful destructive message, because if we're believing we're not worthy to be close to God, to have God within us, wow. And that's a shame when it's repeated so much in that way that people just end up feeling like I'm unworthy.
And the thought comes to my mind of how many scriptures say the opposite of that. Like, I think Jesus uses the example of a hen gathering her chicks, and, you know, like there's this ultimate love and sacrifice. And like a mother doesn't say to her child, you're not worthy.
Oh, right. So we unwittingly misunderstand perhaps what Jesus's message is.
Yes.
And then end up turning it around, and it ends up being destructive to ourselves.
Yes, because I believe the core message of Jesus is love.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody would argue with you there.
Well, some people would, but I feel like the core of it is love.
Okay. Well, see, that's something I didn't know. I didn't know anybody would argue that.
I think Jesus has been turned into being made to look more like a warrior, especially recently. And I feel like when you read scripture, how do you get a warrior? You know, the man that was kind to women and called children to him.
Right,
and,
unto me, right.
Yeah. Like, how do we get a warrior out of that? But he's been turned into a warrior.
Yeah, I know for many people, because sometimes it feels like the toxic messaging of many religious teachings have kind of turned things upside down. I know many people are now not even just comfortable with using the word Christianity because it has created so many negative associations.
It's definitely a trigger word these days, I think, for a lot of people.
And maybe I'd rather be a follower of Christ or a student of Jesus, or... I know for me personally in my adult life, when I've had some friends who, you know, were just felt very strongly that I needed to be saved, that I wasn't okay without being saved, then for me that squelched. That made, I ended up being kind of in the ego mind all the time, defending myself, feeling like I wasn't enough as I was, feeling constantly judged or criticized because I believed differently.
And the assumption was made that you didn't have a relationship or connection, maybe is a better way to say it, a connection to the divine.
Right, right. That somehow I was missing the mark. Yeah. Which then kept me feeling like I couldn't shine my light, you know, who I was.
That you always had to be careful around them or less than, or you definitely felt less than around them.
Constantly defensive, yeah. And so when I wasn't with them, I was still defending, like I had lost, the ego just took over, you know, so I wasn't able to spend as much time connecting because I was with love, with God, because I was defending myself in my head to those teachings.
And you were probably trying to prove to yourself that you were worthy or that it wasn't true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You go into defensive mode. For sure. And I feel like maybe this is a good time to read the one of the messages that I came upon this morning that I feel like just really fits with all of this. And this is from my new book, Your Indelible Worth, by the way. I'm actually holding the book. Yes.
Yay.
So this is a message that I received from Love Itself. There's an opening that comes within the space in which you release your hold on self-judgment, criticism, and guilt. Often you disregard this internal resistance to the truth that is you. You fail to recognize how great is your need to forgive yourself for all your perceived transgressions. For the lock of self-judgment bars you from the truth that is you and from realizing the grandeur that is you. Such criticism blocks the passageway of your joining to my power, my love, and our connection, which is the completion that is you. Be still a while. Search your heart for the places where you are called to let forgiveness in. Open your heart to this gift, which only you would withhold from yourself. Soon you will feel the release and opening to the joy of angels and me celebrating our reunion. A reunion back to your truth. A reunion of remembering all the joy, all the love that is you. Forgive yourself and join me in the opening where our lights will merge again as one. And you remember the truth, joy, and beauty that is you.
I love the word completion there, because I think one of the messages that a lot of faith or religion gives us is the message of lack.
Right. And I'll never forget one of our ministers saying years ago that the translation, "Be ye therefore perfect," actually means "be you therefore complete."
Oh, that's so much better, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Let you be complete.
Totally different meanings.
Absolutely, right. And I love the end where it says, where our lights will merge as one.
Yes, complete.
Yes, we're complete. We're back into remembering our wholeness, that we're one with divine love. And so profound to me that when it starts off, you know, the judgment, the criticism, the guilt, all those messages that you're not enough as you are what lock us, what bar us from remembering our completion.
I think the beautiful thing about this is you can have these core messages and have them be pretty ingrained, and you
the destructive
can
ones
shifting them.
You can begin to change them, yes. And I think that's important that we acknowledge that. You know, when I think about healing through grief, through a loss, first we need to be able to identify what the reality of the loss is.
Right.
To be able to name it.
I think that's what's been so hard for me, because I think I mentioned in the last podcast, there are so many beautiful things that I gained that I want to hang on to. At the same time, and I need to grieve the loss of some of those messages that were so harmful to me.
Right. So they were almost contradictory. Some of them helped you to feel close to God. Is that right? And others kept you from.
Yes. And I think that's why it can be so confusing.
That is confusing. It's complicated when we have that mix. Can I have both feelings? Can this feel good? And yet there's this other piece that feels all wrong.
Yes. And the shame piece, always shame. Shame.
So, and do you feel like that is kind of one of the main core things when it gets to toxic religious messaging, is that there's that underlying shame piece?
I think so. That's definitely true for me.
And the crux of shame, again, is that I'm bad as I am. There's something innately wrong with me.
I think even the song you and I were talking before we started, Amazing Grace, which everybody absolutely loves.
Yeah.
But it has a line in there that says, you know, saving a wretch like me.
So right there, it's saying, I'm a wretch. I'm not enough. There's the shame.
their shame.
I was working with someone in my office yesterday, just helping them understand if we want to shift these messages that are destructive and toxic to us, we have to allow ourselves to go back to the feeling where the original wound began, you know, what that felt like, going back to that inner child and letting he or she have those feelings so that we can let our compassionate selves, the God, the love within us, come to that and hold us in that. Say, I feel your pain, and let ourselves have that pain and ask, what was the truth though?
Yes. What was the truth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the truth? You know, what was the truth? As we're all born, we're born of love, right? We're born of light. Mm-hmm. We are an extension of God's love.
Uh-huh. And we tend to lose the connection instead of feeling more connected, because the core messages start so early. I often think when I look into a baby's eyes that I see God, like they're still connected. Yes.
I saw that with my granddaughter. I just could see it in her eyes. It's like she remembered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was still in touch with that, which is why it's so valuable to me to be able to absorb these messages every day.
Yes.
Like in reading these messages in my book, I need to keep going back and reading them and having the felt sense of them, of the truth every day.
Felt sense of the truth, which is so interesting, because when you talked about going back with that client, it was like to feel the original feeling.
Yes.
And then to be able to replace it with the felt sense of the truth.
Exactly. We have to feel the pain, the grief, and then we have to feel the truth. Mm-hmm. And we have to let ourselves hold both at the same time.
Hold both. Oh, both and.
Yes. Like we are going back and hugging that little child. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
There's much work to be done, mm-hmm. but we can allow ourselves to heal and to remember the truth if we are willing.
Yes.
To do that, to give that to ourselves.
Just little bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start with little bits.
So to our listeners, Ruth and I were contemplating perhaps we would do a kind of a virtual retreat with those who are wanting to heal through some of the destructive, toxic religious messaging perhaps that they grew up with. Mm-hmm. So that's something perhaps we can, you know, folks, if they're interested, can send us an email.
Yes, that would definitely be helpful to see.
Yes, so we'll know. And so we'll start it when we know we have, you know, mm-hmm. a core group of maybe six people or more.
Yes.
Who would want to have a, maybe just a short kind of, what we call that? Would we call that a retreat or a workshop or something?
Yes, either one, I think fit.
Right. Okay, so, but I need to backtrack. So what is our kind of therapy takeaway for today?
I loved your word picture of going back and hugging that inner child and just somehow giving them the message that it's okay.
Yeah. And one way to do that is to, I often tell people, let yourself write with your least dominant hand. Mm-hmm. So that helps you get in touch with that little child in you and write just what it felt like and what the messages were that you learned. Mm-hmm. And then let it be kind of a dialogue, then switch hands and write from your loving, compassionate adult self.
Mm-hmm. And if it feels too hard, make sure to do it with a trained therapist.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But just to bring love and compassion, to bring love itself to the places that feel wounded.
Broken or wounded, yes.
Yeah. And our spiritual takeaway?
I think it goes back to what we say frequently, you know, find those little moments during the day to let love in.
Yes, and have that felt sense. Mm-hmm. Let yourself put your hand on your heart and say, thank you for loving me.
Yes, I am loved.
Breathe it in. So you can email Ruth and I at Janine@thehearts.way. Janine is spelled J-A-N-I-N-E at the Hearts Way. If you are interested in joining us for perhaps a virtual retreat on this topic. And you can also go to thehearts.way.org to order a book, Your Indelible Worth, and begin changing those messages, absorbing the new, absorbing the truth. And we always welcome your feedback and thoughts and topics you'd like us to address.
Yes.
And in closing, we wish you peace.
Peace.
That you may remember your completion in love itself. Mm.